Hi, welcome to this AI panel discussion. I'm your host, Jonathan Mastin. I'm really excited to be here today as I talk to five of the best digital marketing agency owners that I know. Each of them serves in their own unique niche. And today we're going to have a conversation about AI and digital marketing. Do they meet? Do they mix? Do they not? Well, we're going to find out today from our panelists.
Hey guys, it's Brad Kilgore here from America's Best Shops. And our goal in life is to help as many vehicle repair shops as we can out there increase their bottom line and get more customers that like coming back.
Hey, it's John Clendenning from Carpet Cleaner Marketing Masters, a 30-year veteran in the cleaning industry space as an owner and owning businesses and that. And we started a digital agency about 5 years ago to make our clients the top cleaning brand in their local market so they could be booked out for weeks in advance, have the highest revenue and the best customers in the area.
Hey there, my name is Chris Hunter and I'm the Chief Marketing Officer of RoofingSites.com. I help roofers grow. In fact, it's our mission to help 100 roofing companies double in size before 2028.
I'm Laura Sutherly with Agtivation, and with Agtivation, we help precision ag equipment dealerships stand out online. We find that they are fantastic face-to-face, but sometimes online just doesn't resonate as strong. And that's where we shine and come in and take them that much further so that they can do what they like to do best, be face-to-face with their clients, but their website and their digital footprint is working for them behind the scenes to get them with the clients that they want.
I'm Jen Crego. I'm the founder of Margo. We're a marketing agency for aesthetics and wellness practices. We're primarily focused on building brand authority, high-value patient acquisition, and really sustainable growth. I bring a background in business development to marketing, so we take that with a deep understanding of psychology-driven marketing and help our clients grow with building trust and profits and sustainable growth.
How do you see AI reshaping the overall digital marketing landscape for your industry? Laura, would you start?
When I think of how AI is going to reshape the agriculture industry, the biggest thing that comes to mind is, depending on the region and the areas, our growers need different things. So those precision ag dealerships, if they could fine tune their offerings, meaning that when someone's returning to their website or returning for additional information, their systems can now remember what was previously searched, and that growers offered equipment and services and offerings that better suits them in their area, it's going to move precision ag dealerships so much further along. I mean, they are deep already into technology. This is just going to take them that much further.
Great points. Brad, how about you? I mean, in the mechanic industry, in the cars industry, how does AI help in the digital marketing side?
Well, honestly, AI is already reshaping the vehicle repair industry because you're able to create compelling content, powerful content, be able to tell your stories, use visuals, and shops could really generate better results faster without the need for a big marketing team.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Jen, how about in the aesthetics industry? Where does AI fit in with digital marketing?
Yeah, AI has already been being used in a lot of ways in the aesthetics industry already, especially with skincare and the different softwares that are available, you know, for different providers. But from a marketing perspective, like Brad mentioned, being able to go really deep with content and the business's stories, and AI just brings all of that much, much deeper than any human by themselves.
Oh, excellent. I appreciate that. John, how about you? In the carpet cleaning industry, you know, it's not necessarily known as being the most technologically advanced in every possible way. Does AI fit there from a digital marketing perspective?
I'm going to take a different bent on this one, because where I see AI really affecting digital marketing is on the search side of it as well. So obviously AI is a great tool. We'll talk about how people can use it to run their business, but search has now switched from rankings to reputation. So being the best known brand in your local marketplace is getting picked up by AI search engines, people using ChatGPT to ask who is the best carpet cleaner, and not getting a Google Maps perspective anymore, but actually getting like generative AI, Gemini, answering that question. And if your clients can be put in that conversation, which we're noticing our clients are showing up at the top of that going, well, there's this brand, because of the way the content is being built and the FAQs and all that, people are going to be using less and less search and more asking deeper questions into AI. And as a small business owner, you better be the one that gets pulled up in the local marketplace, or you're going to be invisible.
That's a really good point. You talk about local, and Chris, I want to ask you, you know, as you work with roofers, does AI help on that local marketing side to attract local customers?
So I think really, and at least right now, until Siri or you know, Google Assistant gets really, really smart and kind of starts taking over, I think Google is still the top dog for where we, as marketers, really focus for most, definitely for roofers. And I think that AI is going to drive that, is driving it and has been driving it really for the past couple of years into a whole different area. And so we want to make sure that we stay ahead of the curve. When I say we, I mean we in the industry want to stay ahead of the curve because it's coming. It's here, and we have to embrace AI for us and our clients.
Makes tons of sense. I appreciate that. Brad, talk to us a little bit about AI tools and how they help you and your clients gain a better understanding of the customers that they're dealing with, and maybe customer segmentation.
Sure, Jonathan. I mean, AI tools can track and analyze customers, how they interact with your websites, your ads, your social media, and really highlight what services people are most interested in. You know, maybe when they're most likely to book an appointment with you. You can even use AI to predict what offers might resonate best with customers. And I think that at the end of the day, that kind of insight really helps you market smarter, not harder.
You know, Chris, in the past, we've talked about how sometimes agencies, just because of lack of time and budget on the client side, created a more maybe generic campaign as opposed to a more specified and specific one for audiences. How does AI help you segment your clients' audiences in order to get more leads and better response on those marketing campaigns?
Yeah, and that's a good question. You know, and that's something, honestly, that we're still kind of tackling, you know, as an agency. But I think the bigger part of that, the bigger question is really mapping out for every single client the customer value journey, right? And having each stage really kind of mapped out. You talk with the client, you kind of get a good idea of what exactly do you want to happen at each of these stages. Then we can take that information back and build all those campaigns, because we've got a transcript of that conversation with that client, which, by the way, wasn't available like 10 years ago, right? And so it's a lot easier nowadays to get those transcripts, feed it into something like ChatGPT that is, by the way, trained on that client, okay, which is really the key to all of it, is ensuring that we're actually training that specific AI on our clients. And that's where we get that hyper, you know, localization and personalization for every single campaign.
Makes great sense. Laura, from your perspective, obviously I know ag dealers are, there's different implements, different types of farmers are dealing with all that. How do you see AI fitting into that customer behavior and understanding the needs of each of those customers, maybe in a way that helps customize those marketing campaigns?
One thing that the ag industry does extremely well is they really do have that personalized bond, and they work very closely with their growers. So whether they're on their farms or whether they're coming in to talk to them about agronomy plans, this is just going to take it that much further. Because before, when we would mention A/B testing or, hey, let's see how this does versus that, it was too much for them. And this gives us an opportunity to go and do a lot of that research for them and bring that information to them to be hyper personalized. And they're going to be able to right now they've collected a lot of agronomy facts, figures, graphs, a lot of just information. And yes, they may be able, in the past they would have presented it back to them in PDF or maybe even a binder format. Now with this hyper personalization, they're going to be able to do something with them that won't overwhelm the grower, that the grower will be able to go through it as they need it and be able to utilize it on their farms.
Excellent. John, you talked a little bit earlier about SEO and reputation as opposed to just keywords and that. How does AI fit into that? I mean, how does AI help a local carpet cleaner or any local business for that matter with local SEO?
There's so much that can be involved and unpacked in that. But on a very simple level, you can go into any one of the major AI tools and just start a conversation about target phrases, what people are using to find different service providers, carpet cleaners included, stuff like that, and just really get some good data to build out. You can even go in and ask about things like topical authority content now and entity SEO and understand what that is and maybe what shifts need to be made on your website. So it's less about keywords and more about building entities and brands and authority of the expert in the company. So building your local authority online and stuff like that. So there's a lot of ways you can just go back and forth with that data as well. And you can upload reports and you know, download things out of, you know, Google Analytics. And instead of spending hours and hours and headaches and, you know, coffee and aspirin and all that to figure out what this even means, you can just say, hey, break this down. Where are we getting our best traffic? What's our best pages? What problems do you see? Download a screaming frog report and have it analyzed in minutes, not days or weeks. So yeah, there's a lot you can unpack as a business owner and even as an agency working with business owners to make it way more dynamic and effective.
Awesome. Jen, how about from your perspective, as you're taking a look at the aesthetics clinics you're working with and not only a local SEO part, but also targeted advertising? I know, you know, they have different products, different profit centers, different ways to get people into the clinic and that type of stuff. How do you see AI changing maybe the way that's happening or playing the role currently with your aesthetics clients?
We're able to use AI now in a way that it's multi-layered. So on one hand, we're looking at that really personalized information, that data that tells us tells us how to, you know, work with each person individually, but also, as John mentioned, getting a lot of information about the audience is so impactful. We can have those conversations with ChatGPT to ask how the target audience wants to feel about their provider, how they want to feel about the specific treatment that they're getting, not just what their challenges are that, you know, we all know kind of what the general challenges are for adults, but really going much, much deeper with AI.
Yeah, really, really insightful. So Chris, talk to me a little bit about analytics and actionable insights. John was talking earlier about obviously the value that we've got more data now that we can analyze, and AI can analyze that a lot quicker. But talk to us a little bit, you know, I know I've downloaded analytics campaigns or analytics for campaigns and that, and I've looked at them, and candidly, sometimes it just makes my head hurt and I don't know what to do with that. How does AI help both you as an agency, but also your clients in analyzing and maybe coming up with some actionable insights related to that?
So a lot of people probably listening to this don't even understand analytics either. So it's not just us, right? Yeah. I mean, there's so much information out there that we have to have some fashion, some way to make sense of it and to give it a feedback loop into the campaigns that we're running for clients, right? Whether that is an SEO campaign, whether that is a Google Ads campaign, local service ads campaign, maybe even a Facebook campaign. We have to know what's working and not working and to be able to adjust on the fly. And I think really, you know, having that AI piece there to help us analyze that and help us provide that feedback loop is invaluable, honestly, for us as marketers to be able to do our job way more effectively than ever before.
Brad, from your perspective, does that analysis, that ability to do that, does that allow you to be more nimble and make changes faster and respond to market conditions, or is it just more layers of technology that don't add a lot of value?
Well, I honestly think that Chris made a lot of good points, as did some of the others. But you know, most of the time, business owners aren't going to necessarily, when you just show them their analytics, you know, and the traditional way, or even a large report, there's so many times where they're going to be overwhelmed. But now we can really break that data down. We can, you know, analyze click-through rates, the engagement, call logs. I mean, you can have AI go back and listen to calls if they're recorded and help you analyze the call logs. So, you know, it's just changed the game as far as what we can do with this data and how we can not just make it understandable to a business owner, but very much put it into strategy based on the data that we now have, and then we can see what's really working.
Brad, I want to stick with you for just a moment. I know you specifically have a lot of knowledge about voice AI systems and that. How does that data help you and or your customers fine-tune the way in which the AI voice models respond to clients? Is that analytical data something that fits into how that process works?
I believe so. I mean, if you think about it, most of the time, or for any type of business, but specifically for repair shops, trying to get the phones answered, trying to get it to the right people, trying to tell them the right information, trying to work around the battle of employees, you know, whether they can't make it in today, they don't feel good, they're in a bad mood, whatever it is, the voice AI agents really can make a big difference for any type of business, because A, they're going to be on point, they're going to literally, modern voice AI agents or assistants or receptionists, whatever you want to call them, could literally answer 200 phone calls at the same time. So you're not going to miss a phone call. So that's good. It can run 24/7. They can transfer calls to the specific departments. They can send scheduling links. They can transfer to the right people. There's just a lot of layers to it. And I think that based on what we're using and what our clients are seeing, it's a game changer. It's not going to go away. And it's a very cost-effective way to go.
Also, I appreciate you sharing that. Laura, from your perspective, I know, especially ag dealers, when the busy season is on, when the growers need stuff, there's not time to hardly think. How can you help leverage AI to make sure that not only are they creating content during those times, but they're publishing relevant content and making sure that it's relevant to the audience at that point in the season? Again, there's more seasonality with the ag dealers. How do you use AI to help make sure that the content meets the needs of the audience in each season?
Well, I think that the panel here has pointed out several valuable elements of that. And one of them, to be what Chris had said, is training. So that is the one thing, making sure the AI is trained. And once it has the brand voice or the individual voices, it expedites and really brings through the quality. So as the dealerships get busier, they know if they would have the voice AI, it's well trained and it can move conversations much further down the line versus them trying to figure it out on the fly. If it's pre-trained, and that's nice to always have in place, they know that the voice AI can take care of it. And then when we look at, again, back to the SEO portion, they know that content is there to answer questions, because we can see that as the farmers are sitting in their tractors, they're not driving, they're self-driving it. You know, different people are driving out the auto steer. They are voice searching now. So it's not going to the traditional search. They're asking, okay, we're seeing this change in our soil. We're seeing this change in our crop, X, Y, and Z. If it can be trained again in the content in place, it moves those dealerships that much further along.
Very interesting. John, how about with carpet cleaners? Obviously, AI and content creation is something that I know gets people either interested or sometimes a little scared, because AI content can be amazing, and it also, if done improperly, can be embarrassing. What are some ways that you think that AI-assisted content can help out carpet cleaners?
From a former carpet cleaning business owner for years, education-based marketing is the only way to go up the food chain and have an average job value and a company profitability that grows and sustainable. The $99, three rooms and a hall, Chuck in a truck, sorry if your name is Chuck and you're listening to this, but is not the way to go and not the way to have a long-standing sustainable business. But you can have, you can educate the right clients, the difference between, you know, a discount cleaning and, you know, eco-friendly, family-friendly, pet-friendly, that kind of thing, cleaning. But there's a lot of times it's, you have a lot of knowledge, you figured that out, but how you articulate that well into the marketplace, whether it's social posts, whether it's content on the website that's going to get picked up properly, whether it's video scripts or eventually probably like well enough done that it's an avatar of yourself that passes as you, that says the content in your voice and stuff like that, you are now getting that education piece out. You're becoming that authority again, as we mentioned, so you can stand out with the right clientele, getting the right information on the different pages of your website, on social and everywhere, so your content becomes a lot more prolific as well. You can spread it around. It
makes a lot of sense. Jen, I know for aesthetics clinics, one of the things that concerns them is, again, that we're commenting properly and that we're using the right terms, that we're making sure we meet things, because certainly there's some additional responsibilities there with aesthetic treatments and stuff like that. Is AI something that can help in that area, or is it better to be avoided in that aesthetics area when it comes to AI-related content?
It's amazing with aesthetics clinics. Like others have mentioned, the training is really key. And then on top of that, the more we do with that AI, the more training we're feeding back into it. And so it just continues to improve exponentially. The way that I see using AI with content, with aesthetics and with wellness clinics is really like, I am the bionic woman with AI. And so I don't know if any of you guys remember the bionic woman from the 70s.
Oh, but I do. Absolutely.
She was part machine and she was amazing. You know, she could like jump and run and like do all these things that like me as a human woman, I could not compete with her in the slightest. And I feel like that's what AI does for us with our aesthetics clinics. Like try competing with Wonder Woman or Bionic Woman, or, you know, try. You'll have a hard time keeping up. So it's, AI can be beneficial for every single wellness clinic and aesthetic clinic.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Chris, as we look at market trends, I know, you know, sometimes industries seem to not have them, but I know in the roofing industry, there's definitely trends and emerging opportunities in that. Any thoughts on how AI can help identify what some of those market trends are and or emerging opportunities so that the roofing companies you work with can actually be earlier and take most opportune advantage of those opportunities?
I think with the short answer to that is yes. I think that obviously with every market, with every industry, there are different types of trends and there are different things that are happening. In the roofing industry right now, what's happening on beyond just marketing side of things is sales, right? Is implementing those voice and chat voice bots and chat bots and so forth. But there's other things that are coming, other things that like, you know, AI powered drones that are mm-hmm. identifying hail spots better than humans are. Okay. Mm-hmm. And being able to create estimates on a heck of a lot faster time frame. I've got some roofers that would take weeks to create estimates. And we're like, hey, it's speed to sale, man. You got to get this going. And with AI-driven estimates and all of this stuff built in, we've been able to speed them up dramatically to like the same day getting an estimate. Because just like speed to lead, it's speed to sale. The first person who can make that sale wins, you know? So if you can get an estimate done, if you can get the sale completed, you're going to win in your market no matter what. And it's technology, like AI, but I mean, it's the technology's been around a long time, right? Back 10 years ago, we still had, you know, roofers that were not even using a computer. So getting them to use AI is just that other logical step along the way. I still have roofers that come to me with little notebooks full of all of their stuff. And I'm like, you got to stop that. Use technology to its finest, please.
Laura, I know in the ag equipment, a lot of the manufacturers are implementing a ton of technology, and I'm assuming AI is part of that, although I don't know specifically. From your perspective, how can AI help the dealers stay on top of those trends? Because we know the manufacturers, they're there to sell whatever product they make, but the dealers are really there to serve the growers and to make sure that they're getting the right information to the growers that they need. How do you see AI helping the dealers that you work with keep on top of those market trends?
Well, I think one thing that I reiterate with, again, agriculture, they want to be face-to-face. They like that handshake. They're really personable. So I always mention that AI is not going to take any of that away. It's not going to replace mm-hmm. them. It's just going to make sure that they're more efficient. But I want to just mention about the communication and interviewing AI and asking them that exact same question, because they are still very unique, and we want their voices and their brands to still be very unique out there. So even though a manufacturer might be presenting the exact same information to everyone, if they have that conversation back and forth, and you can argue with AI, I think we tend to just want to take it as a, oh, this is what AI said, this is most what I do. But if we look at what works best, they're successful businesses already. We just want to amplify and take them that much further and put that out online so other growers can see it. If they can go ahead and have that conversation back and forth with AI, say, this seemed to work, or whoa, this spring got really wet, how can we adjust? AI is a great companion to go back and forth, especially if it's trained with the areas that they need.
That makes so much sense. John, next I want to talk a little bit about monitoring and managing reviews and reputation online. And I know for carpet cleaners, that's a really big deal. It's not something that the average consumer is necessarily buying every week or every month. And so, you know, they're looking at those reviews and stuff like that. How do you see AI fitting into that, whether that be in the actual helping the carpet cleaners get more reviews because they're able to automate some of those requests and that, or responding to reviews? Where do you see AI fitting into that online reputation and review management?
Well, on an easy level, every review should be responded to, good, bad, or ugly, with a great response. So training, again, as we've all been talking about, not just generic responses. There's lots of tools out there that'll just answer reviews now with AI. But if it's not trained with your business, your voice, the way you do things, well, it is going to come across very, you know, bland and not on brand, not on point. So trained well to have great responses for, you know, the good, bad, and ugly reviews is a great starting point. Going a little bit deeper, you can find review gap analysis. So you can actually take a list of your reviews, a list of reviews of other companies, and find out maybe where they have some better comments made, better reviews, and a little bit deeper knowledge, and kind of steer your clients. It kind of sounds weird, but you can actually steer your clients to write reviews about something specific as well. Or you can find out that you've got no reviews on area rug cleaning or cat vomit cleanup, and it's a large topic, and you just have nothing on that at all. Would you really know that if you've got 400 reviews and your competitor's got 552 reviews, that the cat owner will find the cat vomit, you know, reviews more beneficial to them? So there's things like that, that is just like just that depth of data analysis that we've all talked about helps as well at yet another level. So there's just, yeah, there's so much you can do with reviews and syndicating them and pulling them off and making great social posts about them and stuff like that. ChatGPT has beautiful pictures now. So it's like, there's another one. Let's take them all off and make a schedule of social posts from the reviews on Google over to Facebook, as an example. So, million things.
Great ideas. I love that. Brad, how about in the automotive repair side and maintenance and all that? Where do reviews fit in there? And how can AI help these businesses get better reviews, more reviews, and maybe even, as John said, help monitor some of those gaps?
Well, I think that in the day and age we live in, all of us take reviews seriously as consumers and as business owners. I mean, you know, whenever It's almost like second nature now. If we're going to go out to a restaurant, or if we're going to look for a motorcycle repair shop or whatever it is, we take into consideration, well, I wonder what, let's look at their reviews. Oh boy, maybe we're not going there based on, you know, just what we see. So using AI, like what was mentioned with John, you know, we can monitor reviews in real time. We can draft personalized responses automatically as we create our brand voices and different things for shops. And you can also spot patterns and feedback, so you can improve service and ultimately boost your ratings. Because if you can have a really attractive online reputation for your shop, it will increase your bottom line.
Makes perfect sense. Jen, I'm not as familiar with the aesthetic industry and stuff as you are. How important are reviews there, and how do you see AI playing a role with them?
Reviews are vital for the industry. Like John mentioned, it's impossible to be able to go through, I mean, impossible is far-fetched, but it's unlikely that someone will look through 400 testimonials or reviews to see how their you know, their reviews compare to their competitor. So that's incredibly important or helpful. Another thing that I find is, as business owners, sometimes it can be a bit of a gut punch when we get a negative review.
Oh yeah.
And if we're human, we're sometimes tempted to kind of say, oh well, that client, they were crazy, or they don't know what they're talking about, or you know, something like that. And it can be really hard to pull back from that. With trained AI replying to reviews, you can take that emotion right out of it, because AI is not going to feel the gut punch like we would. So something like that, I think it just makes it really helpful to have AI just be the voice of reason sometimes.
Makes perfect sense. So Brad, in the automotive sector, how do you use AI to identify new market trends or opportunities that are coming up? And I mean, let's face it, if you're fixing my car or making adjustments or things like that, or my motorcycle for that matter, how important are trends?
Well, I think that's a great question, Jonathan. And I want to use one prime example of that is, when it comes to trends, there are so many what we call deep research large language models, LLMs. And the first one that comes to mind for me when I'm looking for trends is Grok. So Grok is the platform on X, formerly known as Twitter. And so when you're using this deep research portion of it, you literally can ask it different things about industry trends or your competitors or customer demands, and even include things that, to say things like, include the latest X comments or posts. So think about how it doesn't get any more fresh than that, because these are things that might have happened 5 minutes ago, and you now have the ability to use this powerful tool to give you a real edge in your market by gleaning this information pretty much in real time. So I think it's a very, very powerful way to really see emerging opportunities.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that, Brad. How about some success stories? I'm going to open this up to the group and let you guys kind of popcorn through, but what are some success stories or examples where you've heard that AI has really boosted marketing results? Anybody have any? I know a ton of them that I could share, but this is really about you guys sharing some that maybe you're more familiar with. I'll just share one here. From a labor perspective, and while I know we often don't like to talk about how AI can actually help us on the labor side, one of the success stories I've got there was the fact that a company that I worked with was looking to hire some additional marketing people to bring onto their team. And as a business, you know, let's face it, most businesses aren't in the business of marketing. They're in the business of doing what they do, whether that's carpet cleaner or mechanics or dealers or roofers or aesthetics. And they were able to leverage AI with the team they had to actually create better results. And what I heard back was it even by collaborating with the agency they were working with, because that agency was AI related, they were able to boost some of their ad results, lower some ad spends, and really just optimize so much of what they were doing. The particular case study that I know of, you know, they were estimating that they were able to increase sales by nearly 30% by just personalizing and optimizing some of those campaigns. Now, I don't have access to every bit of data, but that's what was represented to me. What type of success stories are you guys hearing from others in your industries where AI is helping produce better results, not necessarily always faster, although sometimes, but better results through better campaigns, through better content, through niches, segmentation, whatever that may be? Any success stories?
I've got an example. Sorry, Chris, I saw your finger up, but I beat you to it. So, a lot of businesses have a tough time. Like Brad talked about AI voice agents and how powerful those can be. The people that are answering their phones, again, smaller volume, want that personal touch, don't know if they're booking. A lot of them don't track their own booking percentage. So straight up call recording, run it through software, find out what your booking percentage is. And when they turn around and say, well, I book at 80%, well, it's actually about 20. Right. So you've got a bit of feedback data right there at your fingertips. So companies can use that. Agencies can help companies with that information. And we do that with our clients. The other side of it is now you can start take the recorded scripts of the companies that are booking at 70-80% in the industry, the recorded scripts of the companies that are booking at 20-30%, find the gap, have that conversation and say, try this, change this. Now you can do some script development with them, which we've done for years manually. Now it's minutes instead of hours and lots of recording listening. It pulls out the nuances. And now you go back to them, and next thing you know, their booking percentage goes to 50%, 60%. And that meant $10,000, $20,000 extra per month in revenue. Very significant and very actionable within days, not quarters and years.
I definitely see that the speed at which AI allows us to pivot and make changes is absolutely critical. Chris, you were going to add something into that. What are your thoughts on some of the industry things you've heard about the value of AI in marketing?
Yeah, so to me, right, when we've rolled out EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, to our company in 2018, right? And we had this big, hairy, audacious goal. It's still the same mission that we're on right now. Right. And we're about halfway there. So in order to achieve those results, we were going to, you know, have to have an immense amount of clients. OK. And we were going to have a lot of people. OK. We mapped out how many people that we were going to have in every single position and in order to have this amount of clients. And at one point we looked up, we're like, is this even possible? You know, 22 content writers and all of these. We're halfway there at this point right now, where we stand right now, of where we had mapped out in 2018 with two writers.
Wow.
Right now on our staff. Okay. So we went from having to have 22, and I guess at this stage we would have to have 11. We have two, and those writers the content that they're producing now, in my opinion, is so much better because it's clear, it's built on their brand. It's not in their voice, it's in the brand's voice, right? In the roofing company's voice. And it's just so much clearer, so much better, but the results that are being produced are just phenomenally so much better.
I love that. It's interesting. I was on a podcast earlier today and another agency was talking, and they were sharing that they ran what they call a blind test. And I don't know if I'm certainly not promoting this, but they started taking all the content that they were producing for their agents or for their clients 1 month, and they did it all with AI, leveraging and skill and experience, and not a single client. They had almost 40 clients. Nobody said a word. The next month they ran it again. And then they got a few phone calls, and the calls actually weren't what you thought. The calls were like, what did you guys change? Because this content is really good. It's so much better. And then the next month they decided to do an inverse, and so they went back to all their old ways, and they got nearly half of their clients called them and asked what had happened, because they had seen the difference in a negative way in that month when they went back. And I think that's maybe not something we talk about as much as agencies, but let's have a discussion about the reality that when you're leveraging AI with experience, which as an agency you have, you're actually producing a higher quality of content in many cases in the same or less time than what you could do before. Jen, I see you nodding. Do you have any thoughts on that as a concept as we start talking about that?
In my brain, I go back to the Bionic Woman, because it's not just me. I have an entire team of Bionic Women. And so everything that we do is magnified, amplified with, we're just able to do it faster, better, you know, all the things.
Oh, awesome. I love that. How about you, Laura? I saw you nodding a little bit as well. What are your thoughts about that concept that, again, AI allows us to amplify the skill and experience of you and your team in a way that delivers better results than maybe we could without AI?
The one thing I noticed is that it kind of gave us a breath of fresh air. And I know that sounds odd. It wasn't as though people were worried about losing their jobs here, or, you know, even our clients worrying about it, was the fact that they felt like that Bionic Woman or man, that they're like, you know what, I now can make a better, you know, content page or blog post. And it and so they take, because again, everything's trained in the brand and of the customer, we're able to go and include the audience who we want to engage with that particular page or blog or research article, and we're able to take their video content. So as the clients have had videos, we're able to take different angles on those videos now, and it didn't seem to be such a task. Some of it, you know, if it's a more of a research or educational piece that may not be very entertaining, sometimes it was difficult to say, what can we redo with that information? The part of success that we noticed is that as we were getting busier, we were able to still keep the brand voice moving forward on the client. So if I had to pick up and write, it still sounded like my professional writers on my team, because again, we had the capability of having that brand voice pulled through.
Excellent. I love that. So we've been talking a lot about the positive impacts of AI and how it can positively move things. But as your clients start implementing that, and that there's also some things that they probably should be aware of. I don't want to call them risks per se, but you know, an educated buyer always does better. What, Brad, from your perspective, are some of the potential gotchas that your clients should be paying attention to? Because, of course, we've got agencies from all over telling now how we're going to automate everything, and for $50 a month, we're going to take care of everything with AI. By the way, I don't believe any of that. But what are some of the gotchas that you think businesses need to be aware of as they're hearing about all these AI marketing services that are available? Anything you've got in mind there?
Yeah, absolutely, Jonathan. I think that's a great question. The learning curve is real. I mean, the people that are on this panel, myself included, we take what's happening with AI in the marketing space very, very seriously. And I know for me, I put in countless hours, you know, learning, refining, training our team members and all these things. So if you are a business owner and you are at this point saying, you know, I want to try to do some of these things myself, I may be not that tech savvy, then there's two things. One is either start small, learn as you go, don't be afraid to ask for help. But the flip side of that is, maybe it makes sense to hire somebody like somebody on the panel here who lives and breathes it to help you. Because I know for me, I don't work on cars, so I don't work on motorcycles. I don't attempt to do that. So I wouldn't go down that road for me. So maybe in some cases, I've worked with many multi-million dollar business owners in the shop space that really were very, I called, lack of a better word, kind of a tech-tard. You know, they did not understand technology at all. And so I became their right-hand man. so to speak, and for many, many years and decades at times, to really be there for them as their go-to person, their knowledgeable assistant, what have you. And then in closing, just be aware if you are doing things with AI implementation on your own, that it can hallucinate. Now, back in the 70s, hallucinating meant a whole different thing, but now it's tied to AI. So check what you do. Don't just put it out there because it can goof up and it is not perfect.
John, how about your perspective? What are some gotchas that people should just be cognizant of, be aware of, and that they manage when they're looking at AI and marketing?
So I see AI becoming the great equalizer, possibly even to the point of an AI stalemate. You think about it, like back in the day when it was, you know, spun content, or early days, if, you know, you could get 10,000 backlinks from Russia, then all of a sudden your site ranked. Well, then obviously everybody got 10,000 backlinks from Russia and everybody's site the stalemate hits again. And that kind of thing. So a lot of the conversation today has been around the training, the voice. Like, we interview our clients when they start with us now, put them on a podcast, help build their local brand, make them real, make them authentic, but then take that voice and put that in the back end and train all of our AI command center for our clients around them. We've got one in our company called Ask John. I've done way too much content and podcasts and interviews and webinars and stuff like that. And just meeting with clients, all of that's been loaded in. And it's so the team can say, what would John say? Or how would this be in John's voice? Or the social media team can just sound like me in an answer and stuff like that. So think of AI as possibly getting to that stalemate point where everybody can do it. It becomes, you know, ubiquitous. It becomes the thing that every company can put out 10,000 blog posts today, and that kind of thing. So how do you now think it through to be unique enough to still break through the clutter?
Really good advice. Jen, you've shared in the past, I know offline, we've talked about how You have a very unique process for training the AI model on the brand of your client and making sure that, as John was talking about, it's reflecting their tone, their style, and their voice without giving away the secret sauce. Can you tell us a little bit about how is it that you help your clients in that way by helping them on both the branding side, and how does that then fit into AI and what you're doing there?
Yeah, we do go through an extensive process to train the AI. We call them brand authority assistants, and we have a lengthy interview, client interview. We use those transcripts. Then we're also doing research on the client's location, their area. I mean, we can even train it on their love language. I mean, so we use all of the things so that it really deeply sounds like them, and their competitors. Just a lot of research goes into that.
I love hearing that, and I assume that's part of the value that you're bringing, though, because you're then making the AI-assisted content you do, the AI-assisted marketing strategy, it's understanding the client, and so it's adding that much more value. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, we've actually done a comparison to the content that we're able to create while we're still using AI, but we're using it in a way that what we call our specialists, and those are like the, you know, the format for a blog post, for example, and they're very trained on that. Just that alone, with some information about the client, compared to using that specialist AI tool with a brand authority assistant, the difference is night and day. You can't come close to the kind of content that we're producing with the assistant that you get without it. So it's extremely impactful.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. Chris, how about you? Some gotchas in the AI. I know, again, that's something that's out there. What are there any recommendations that you have for your clients and for businesses in general as they start looking at this to either be wary of or be aware of or just even pay special attention to?
So I had a conversation with a client yesterday kind of surrounding this exact topic here, you know, we were going through, you know, what Jen was talking about, this interview and getting the information that we needed in order to train all of our AI tools, right, that we're rolling out for this client, one of them being voice AI, okay? And so his question to me was, well, when is the outbound going to be ready? Okay. And so when I say outbound, meaning calling out, the voice AIs are going to mm-hmm. be able to call out. So it's very close. And this is exactly what I told him. I said, but we have to be very careful about regulatory stuff that's going to go along with this. Okay. Because if you're doing outbound phone calls using AI in California, that's where he's located, I said, I guarantee that the lawmakers are going to shut that down pretty quick, okay? Because us marketers, we have a tendency to screw stuff up. I mean, we overdo things, you know? Yes. And that's exactly what's going to happen with outbound voice AI. So be very, very careful about that. Be very careful about even text messaging, right? Using AI in outbound type AI. You know, so there's a lot of things that you kind of have to have a grasp on the industry as well as regulatory issues that might kind of come into play. With our voice AI, we are very, very clear that this is a voice AI, and it's all inbound right now at this point, but we're very clear that, hey, this is Samantha, our AI voice receptionist, and all of our humans are busy right now, you know, how can I help you, kind of a thing. So it's very clear, and we wanted to be very clear about that so that maybe down the road, if a law is passed, it's not going to affect, or we don't think that it's going to affect our clients nearly as much.
It makes tons of sense. I like that. And I, you know, it's interesting. Just today I was reading on things like A2P confirmation and that, and how much more difficult that's getting to be. And again, not a surprise. We mix the government in with anything, and it's going to get much, much more difficult. But I think your point's well taken there, too. It's to be careful about diving full force into some of these things like that, because sometimes those technologies may not be as good as those hyping them, shall we say, come along the way. Laura, how about you? Obviously, in farming, on one side, farming is incredibly technological in what they're doing and how they're working, especially in the precision ag industry. But on the other side, sometimes farmers are perceived as being a little bit slower to take up the latest technologies. From your perspective, speaking to the ag dealers that you work with, what are some things that they should be cognizant of as they start looking at implementing AI and or using AI-based marketing strategies? Any thoughts?
Well, and I think that is one of the misperceptions of that they may be a little bit slower with taking up the technology, but yet the tractors blow me away as to what is inside them, the automation, and how the software updates yearly. I mean, it is a monitor training is huge in the spring for, you know, anybody that's using any of the advancements in technology. And it's just incredible to watch how the systems work together. So I don't think that's as much as a roadblock. The biggest thing is, again, that face-to-face, they want to be, have that personal connection. So even with the voice AI, it's more setting the answering of the phone past six rings, because they know that they want to be the personal one, but it's nice to have that picked up and have that conversation to get to the right person. I'll just, because it really hasn't been mentioned, and I know that advancements are being made leaps and bounds, but imagery, I know that I've had many conversations with you as to if they would like to use AI to create any kind of equipment or crops. You just have no idea what you're going to get sometimes. Now, like I said, we see that changing. And the blessing is that a lot of our dealerships are able to get the photos that they need out in the field or what's, but that will be a huge advancement if we're able to get the imagery and it's representing what the dealerships actually want to put out there. So that was the only thing that they need to kind of take a double check and really look at that photo before it goes online. And then as it was mentioned about the hallucinations, sometimes crop prices is crazy. So when we get any kind of numbers or stats within anything, we need to make sure that they are, you know, everything is human reviewed, but we want to make sure those statistics are correct. And so I think that that's the biggest thing. And AI gets tired. And we see that as we're asking the questions and going back and back and back and forth, we find that sometimes the answers get a little bit off the more that we have that conversation.
Awesome. Great stuff. So Brad, as we look at 2025, we're obviously doing this just at the end of the first quarter. What are some of the things that you think, or maybe the thing that you think your audience needs to be paying attention to as it relates to AI and marketing in 2025?
And I think that's an important question as we, you know, move into April. Some of the main things that I see happening, it's more than just one, but I think AI voice agents is huge for any type of business. So that your calls are getting answered, they're getting recorded, you're getting notified that you had a new call and that you're not losing business. But the other piece that I really see happening is whether it's a full-on custom GPT, which are things that everybody on the call here knows about, where we really train AI to know everything about your business and what have you. I mean, imagine a system that could follow up on quotes, write your emails, even predict your customer needs, could look up what are the OSHA rules in your state for that particular scenario. All these things, it's not just where it's headed, it's available right now.
Good stuff. John, how about you? What's one thing that you think your audience needs to be paying attention to as we move forward in 2025 as it relates to AI and strategy for marketing?
Yeah, that's a hard question to think of the one thing. The voice agent that Brad mentioned, definitely in our world, we're a lot like Laura talked about. Cleaners should be answering, having somebody dedicated to answer the phone live first, create that real person, or you end up, you know, you can end up commoditized and stuff like that, and then have the third number, fourth number rollover. But I do really think the database side of it, if a cleaner understands what business they're in, they're the marketer of cleaning services first, not the doer, then using, having that database broken down, knowing which customers are the most active, which customers came in with what services, maybe what other services they should get, and really going deep with the data can really allow you to segment that audience, send very customized messages. The customer that, you know, that normally books every 3 or 4 months, are you ahead of that having a conversation? Hey, we've left the slot open for you. The one that is, you know, less often or just had a new puppy or whatever. If you can be that much deeper with your data and really, really, really dial it in, the ability to market your customer on their needs is game-changing, and that's starting to become available in some of the softwares, but even outside of the software, if you can take the data, your database, put it in, and do some of that data massaging and asking those questions back and forth. Just better marketing by a lot.
Chris, how about you? As roofers are looking at AI-driven strategies and that type of thing, what's one thing that you believe they really need to be paying attention to in 2025?
I think the biggest, honestly, and I've been saying this for a long time with them, is pick up the phone, right? Roofers are busy, and the smaller companies, even some of the bigger companies that I've worked with, really, really struggle with that singular piece, okay? They might have someone, you know, sitting in their back office, one person possibly that's answering their phones. Well, when they're at lunch or when they are in the restroom or on another call with another customer of theirs, that phone call gets lost. So I think the absolute biggest thing in the AI, if any roofer that's listening to this right now, that you need to implement one thing this year, that's voice AI. You need to have a voice receptionist so that when you're not picking up your phone, and I guarantee 90% of y'all are not, okay, something's going to pick it up. And I'm telling my clients that this is a modern day voicemail system. Okay.
Yeah.
After 4-6 rings, that it rolls over to the AI assistant to not only answer the phone, but to set the appointment, answer any questions that they might have. They know, you can't imagine how many people that I've listened to, how many phone calls that I've listened to that the receptionist didn't even know what services they offered or what service area that they had. They had to put that person on hold, or even worse, take a message and get back to that person. The problem with that, and this is every home service industry, is that those people are long gone by the time you get back to them, you know? So That's the cool part about AI. You can train it on your services, your service area, your hours of operation, how you sound, and humans, it might be better than you. Okay. So that's the one thing, and I'm sorry that's long-winded, but that's the one thing that I think that they should and absolutely should implement in 2025.
I think it's important that people don't fall into the trap of thinking that AI is a good shortcut, that they can get all this benefit from AI like really fast by not putting in the work. And that's just not how it works.
No, it's a really good point. You know, you think about it, AI never calls in sick. AI never gets tired at the end of the day. AI never gets an attitude with a client. Nothing that ever happened with any of the calls we've ever had, but none of that's an issue. So I totally get where you're coming from. Laura, how about you? As you take a look at 2025, what do you think is the one dominant thing or maybe the most important AI-driven strategy that you think that your clients need to be paying attention to?
I believe automation will make a huge difference. Unlike a lot of things where if it's a car that's broken down or whatever, when a planter or any kind of piece of equipment goes down, they have to be doing some scheduling out in the field. So anything that they can automate, whether it be quoting or maybe tightening a schedule to help out, because you might be going 20 miles one way, 40 miles the other way, if some kind of automation to keep that grower informed as to, hey, they're on their way or they're 20 minutes out and okay, what parts will we have to get there? You know, they can do some automation that's going to tighten up the whole process for them and keep that communication going.
Makes excellent points. And I think, you know, that's also gets rid of some of those really task intensive things when we can automate some of that. Increases customer service, that increases spend and buy and everybody else. So good stuff. Mm-hmm. Jen, how about you? As you look at 2025 and the groups that you're dealing with, what's one thing that you think they really need to be paying attention to?
I think that in the aesthetic and wellness industry, it's just so competitive. And there are some really, really big players that are taking AI very slowly. And I think that some of the smaller companies, sometimes even the solopreneurs, they should really be looking at using AI to basically level the playing field. They mm-hmm. have this big opportunity now that they didn't a few years ago to show up in an omnipresent way that's just on par with the big guys. And like, this is the opportunity. They really need to be using AI to their advantage. And like Laura mentioned, automation, there's just so many ways that the small and big, like every business can really use automation, AI automation in so many ways to do business better, let alone marketing. So
Chris, talk to me a little bit about the opportunities that you see when it comes to AI and marketing for roofers in particular.
I think the biggest opportunity really right now that we're looking at, and really the biggest opportunity is that we have to, it's a mindset shift, okay? And I talked about this earlier about, you know, technology in general. When I first went into business this is going to really date me, but I first started this whole journey in the marketing industry in 1998. Okay. It was a really, really hard sell back then to sell websites. It was still a fad. We had just gone through the dot-com bust and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of small businesses just didn't understand what I saw, which was the power of what the internet really was going to be. Okay. Now, could I predict that it was going to be in everyone's pocket and in everyone's watch and in, you know, soon to be everyone's, you know, eyeglasses and so forth? No. But back then, it was an opportunity to really get beyond just everything as being static brochures for your small business. Well, AI is that same opportunity right now. Okay. And it has been for the past couple of years, 2.5, 3 years. Right. And it's really been around a lot longer than that. ChatGPT just really got it on the forefront here. But all small businesses, I think, should be implementing AI the same way that we implemented the internet into our businesses, okay, and really embrace. I mean, it's common, it's standard practice now for small businesses to have a website. I mean, it's, if you don't have a website, I'm sorry, and you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but you need to have a website, absolutely, 100%. So, but AI is that next opportunity, I think, to really get an edge on your competition. And really, your competition right now is implementing AI. And so if you're not at all implementing it in whatever shape, fashion, one or another that you're doing it, then you're going to get left behind. And that's just the reality of what it is. Okay. So to me, that's the biggest opportunity for roofers, for every single small business in the whole world.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, I want to thank everybody for your time today on the panel. A great discussion, great insights. And I want to encourage you, if you've been watching this, you've enjoyed anything else, don't hesitate to reach out. Everybody here on the podcast has got years of experience. They know digital marketing, and most importantly, they know your niche. So with that, everybody, make it a great day.